rise, you workers, from your slumber. All you wage slaves, everyone.
The revolution comes like thunder, and the age of hypocrisy is done.
Turn off their televised delusion. Stand up and look them in the eyes.
Declare your mental liberation. Shake off the dust and claim the prize.
So comrades, come rally. In the last fight, let us face the Internationale. Unites the human race. So comrades, come rally. In the last fight,
now, Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, occupies the airwaves with May Day programming. May Day, the day for the working class, for the 99%.
May Day began in the U.S. in 1886 as a nationwide general strike, led predominantly by immigrant workers fighting for the 8-hour day. While celebrated across the globe, it has been largely ignored here until recently when immigrant workers revived it.
And now a new chapter in the history of May Day is being written with the involvement of Occupy Wall Street, the organization making history with its public encampments and protests against the global financial community.
Building Bridges is there for this new chapter in the movement, reporting from May Day events here and across the country. And we'll pepper the events of the day with commentary and analysis on the struggles of the working class in the midst of capitalist crisis and prospects for change.
Join Building Bridges as we acknowledge the blood, sweat, and tears of workers, the workers who really create all the wealth. Then lock arms to unite and continue the fight, because we are the working class. We are the 99%. And now we begin in earnest. And now, NYU for OWS and other activist groups in New York University came together along with the students and the faculty and other workers there. They walked out of class, they walked out of the work site, and they came together to support others for a day without the 99%. And there were the immigrants' rights groups that they were supporting, who were also mobilizing on this May Day, as one of 99 picket lines set up across NYC, the NYU community, picketed the NYU's administrative offices, focused on issues of student debt, the university's 2031 expansion plan, and the administration's refusal to cut ties with J.P. Morgan Chase, the leader in foreclosures in New York. And Ken Nash heads to the picket line.
NYU, we won't let you keep building up our debt.
Money for debt-free education, not for real estate corporations.
It's May Day morning, and NYU Occupy Wall Street is protesting at NYU, focusing on student debt issues and NYU expansion plans, Plan 2031.
NYU, we won't let you keep building up our debt.
And I'm with
Meg Rooney. I'm working with faculty against the Sexton Plan. We're protesting the NYU 2031 expansion. Students, workers, and faculty are picketing in front of Bope's Library to express our opposition to NYU doing a $6 billion building plan in the village. It's going to destroy the village and put NYU into a huge amount of debt paid for on the backs of students.
Tell me more about the expansion plan and how that translates into student debt.
NYU can't pay for this plan. They won't tell us how they're going to pay for this plan, and it's way more expensive than even their endowment is. They're trying to raise money, but they're going to start a giant building plan without any way to pay for it. They're going to let in more students or charge them more. They already create more student debt than any other university in the country. I'm an alumni who's working for faculty against the Sexton Plan, and this is the first time the faculty has opposed the administration in something like this.
And you'll be protesting later today also?
Absolutely. Washington Square at 2 o'clock, and then later at Union Square at 4.
Okay, happy May Day.
Thank you, you too.
Students and workers can shut the school down.
And I'm with Peter at the demonstration.
I'm a graduate student and a teacher assistant at NYU in the history department.
And why are you here then?
So we're protesting NYU's expansion plan, the fact that it's spending billions of dollars building real estate. And we'd prefer to see if they have that money. We're not actually convinced they have that money, but we prefer them to see put their resources towards things like keeping tuition down for undergrads, paying their workers better wage. I'm a grad worker myself, and so we're trying to unionize for a while at NYU's. Administration's been fighting us every step of the way.
For years.
Years, yeah. So it's a lot of things that we're upset about NYU about, but the most recent thing has been this expansion plan that really galvanized, sort of showed that they're interested in putting all their money towards real estate and not things like keeping down student debt.
There are a lot of signs here about student debt. So how does this plan relate to student debt, which is a big issue here apparently and throughout the country?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. It directly relates because NYU has a very small endowment. Their endowment's only like $2.5 billion. Sounds like a lot of money, but given the size of the university, it's not that big. The expansion plan is estimated to cost $6 billion. So where the rest of that money is going to come from, that's $3.5 billion, is going to have to come from raised tuition on us. It's how they've always funded things here at NYU, is high tuition. And so the higher tuition goes, the more student debt there will be. That's basically how they're going to fund it. It also raises questions about whether they're going to be able to finish it, because people are talking about how student debt is this big bubble right now, how it could pop any day like the housing bubble. If that does happen and the buildings are half completed, you're going to end up with these eyesores in the middle of the village.
What's the tuition here?
For undergrads, it comes to about $56,000 a year. So you do that, for a whole 4 years, it can be over $200,000, $225,000, $230,000. So real, it's a lot of money,
This is May Day. What's the importance of May Day to you, and what are you to be doing the rest of the day?
Well, I'm super excited that people have been reclaiming May Day. It started with the immigrants' rights movements in the last, 6-10 years. But, it's got all this historical connotations of sort of radical labor movement. And it lost that for a while, right? And in the last 10 years, I'm really excited because it feels like there's people are talking about issues of class and social justice again. And the fact that they've reclaimed May Day is sort of an illustration of that I'm really excited about.
And you're going to be in the Union Square later?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so we're actually going to meet. We're going to have an NYU-wide meeting net in Washington Square Park where all the different groups at NYU are going to get together and just talk. And then we're going to march up together to Union Square to join the big groups.
Okay, happy May Day.
Thank you. Happy May Day to you.
Our school!
Our school!
Our school!
Our school!
Our school!
And I'm with Professor Jeff Goodwin from the Sociology Department at the picket line at NYU. And which are the issues that bring you here?
Well, this is the first of many May Day protests, and this particular protest is in opposition to NYU's plan to expand in the village and build 4 gigantic new buildings in a residential area. Not quite clear where the money's coming from. We all fear, of course, that it will mean greater student debt. As I'm sure many of your listeners know, NYU students carry one of the largest debt loads in the country, over $40,000 on average. And this has been the way NYU has paid for its expansion in the past. And as far as we know, it's the method for the future. So we don't like this expansion plan. We think the money could be used better towards students, towards faculty, towards improving existing facilities. So we're against this plan, and more generally we support the right to a free higher education in this country. I think that's a big rallying cry for many of us. Students shouldn't have to pay enormous fees and go into debt in order to get an education. It ought to be a right. We've had the right to a high school education for many years now. It's about time we had the right to free higher education. Shouldn't be something bought and sold on the market. So we want to decommodify this society, make more and more things accessible as a matter of right, as a matter of common humanity. So this is part of that broader effort, to change the nature of our capitalist economy, to humanize our economy by decommodifying goods and services, which everyone has a right to, and that includes education.
And the position of youth and their future in the society, how does that relate to where they're going once they get out of school?
Well, I think that the youth are very anxious, and we see that here at NYU, which has a very generally a rather comfortable middle class student base, but even these kids are feeling a lot of anxiety about the future. They're going to leave here, as I say, with a tremendous amount of debt, over $40,000 on average, many with much greater debt. The economy is weak. The jobs just aren't there. The jobs that are being created are low-wage jobs. Students are looking at a pretty bleak future, I suppose, as we all are. And so students are starting to question, why they're paying so much money, racking up so much debt for this very uncertain future. So I think it fits into a larger anxieties about the nature of our economy and its inability to create good, meaningful work.
And how does this translate, as you see it, into the current protest movement and the future for protest movements in the country?
Well, I think a lot of people, quite frankly, are being radicalized. They're getting an education about the nature of the economy and its limitations, its failures. A lot of kids are going to end up in bigger, broader movements challenging this system. That's my guess. We're going through a new period of social protest and radicalization, and people are standing up to the big social problems in this country, the inequality of wealth and income, the inequality of political power and influence. So I see this as a harbinger of growing attacks on that inequality, attempts to create a more just society going forward.
Well, thank you so much, and you'll be out doing this kind of protest yourself later in the day also at Union Square Park?
That's right, all day at Union Square, where we'll be talking about May Day and the range of activism that's going on across the city. So, yeah, it's a busy day.
Okay, thank you so much, and I've been talking with Jeff Goodwin, Sociology Department, NYU, on the demonstration at the Bobbs Library on student debt and NYU expansion plans and protests in the future and protests today. Thank you so much.
Can't pay, won't pay. Can't pay, won't pay. Can't pay, won't pay.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, no matter? Which side are you on, boy?
See, I gotta draw a line, I can't take it no more. If you ain't down with revolution, what you waiting for? Making money for suckers and not communities poor. Ripping flags off of coffers, man, this ain't our war. Colonized and terrorized by the world's biggest killers. The U.S. government, the biggest weapon and drug dealers. Filling prisons with children, incarcerating the future. MySpace and Facebook got us stuck on computers. Stuck on stupid big music that's abusive to the shorties. And the nonsense that you're spitting, they just listen. Absorbing, I've been dormant, I've been working, I'm a giant, I'm ready. I'm with the Apple and Oaxaca, and we hold the machetes. I rock hard like Palestinian children holding slingshots. I'm with every single kid that's down for hip hop, for the culture, the life, what it really stands for. This music is resistance, it's the voice of the poor. I'm on the side of the workers, the teachers, the lunch ladies. On the streets with brown mommies, raising out brown babies. I'm with youth organizers, cleaning up the Bronx River. I'm like Jaime Escalante when I stand and deliver. I'm with Evo Morales, man, he running Bolivia. Distribution of the land so we can all live bigger. I'm with Fugo and Fidel, Grandmaster and Melly Mel. I'm with the Panthers up in Queens, justice for Sean Bell. I'm with Camacho Negron, I'm with Ojeda Rios. Freedom for Oscar López, it's time to get an appeal. I'm with Abu Jamal, I'm with Asada Shakur. I'm with the compas in the mall, and he getting a penny more.
Palestine!
With us from the United May Day Actions converging now at Union Square under the banner Legalize, Organize, Unionize, demanding an end to the criminalization and exploitation of immigrant workers and the stranglehold of the 1% on communities across the city, state, and country is Arun Gupta, who is co-founder of the Occupied Wall Street Journal and co-founder and editor of The Independent. Happy May Day, my brother.
Happy May Day, Mimi.
Now, tell us, what does it look like out there?
Well, I've been going from place to place, and there's really far too many things to keep up with. I've been passed by Bryant Park, where there were many hundreds of people. They just marched down into Union Square, where there's thousands of people. I was up at Madison's Square Park, where they had the teach-ins, kind of the Occupy University folk earlier today. Then I was also at the Wildcat March, which was unfortunately a little too predictable. There were many hundreds of people there, but there were probably also 100 to 200 cops. And when a group of the protesters put on their masks and tried to step off the sidewalk, the police just absolutely swarmed them. There was a lot of pushing, scuffles, and people were dragged away, arrested. The march then folks went through the other end of the park, and I've been getting various reports that they were going through the streets. There are some photos I saw of protesters using the police barricade, apparently against the police. There's a lot of activity going on, but, you know, at the same time, obviously, business is continuing in much of the city. I think one of the most important things about this day-to-day is that it's putting the worker back in May Day, and the mass media are talking about general strikes. Even though it's obviously not really happening as a general strike, it's penetrated through the mass media fog.
Arun, what are the issues that the protesters are raising up? What are the predominant issues? What concerns do people have?
I was also at a protest at a New York City Housing Authority building, and folks there were talking about, you know, that they are the people. They are the 99%, but they have the least benefits, and the corporations have all the power. So there's no lack of issues. I have with me, and we can talk to her in a minute, Karina Ibar Jacob. She's with the Dominican Women's Development Center in Uptown Manhattan. And she's saying, you know, the issues they're facing, their community, it's homelessness, it's hunger, it's violence, it's deportation, and this is all being made worse by the cutbacks. And that they are out here to say that, you know, May Day, they told me that May Day is a workers' day, and also to show that they are part of the 99%. So there's really no lack of issues that one can find. You know, hundreds of different issues, but people say it is united by the corporate power, the control of both our economic and political system.
Arun, do you think that there is a meaningful presence throughout the city of people with these different messages, although certainly a convergence of sensitivities against the concentration of wealth? Is it an effective protest as far as you can see? Is this a new chapter in the rebirth of May Day here?
It's diffuse. I think the question is going to come in a few hours, where folks are going to step off for an uncommitted march down the Wall Street. And I came in along one of the side streets to Union Square, and it's just stacked with police vehicles, with the buses to haul away hundreds of arrests. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening around the city, but it's very difficult to get a handle on it, which is why everyone is coming to Union Square to march down to Wall Street in a couple of hours. So then I think, you know, we'll see what the strength of the crowd is. But at the same time, I think, you know, we have to, you know, be realistic and admit that the Occupy movement is struggling to regain the prominence it had last fall. Without the occupation, it has been kind of hidden from the spotlight. The media interest has waned dramatically. And, you know, that should not be the only measure of whether a movement is successful or not. But it was the occupation of public space that did create the movement, that did bring everyone together, where they could see that their issues were common and that the enemy was common, the rule of capital and of Wall Street. So without having that democratic public forum, it is a real obstacle for the movement. And we have seen over the last a month and a half in New York City, three different attempts to take public space again, one in Zuccotti Park, one in Union Square, and then back down on Wall Street, and the police every time come in with massive force. I think, you know, people are trying to think about how to really put the movement back on the national stage, but, you know, at the same time, the state is cracking down with severe repression. And so this day today is, you know, shows the visibility of the movement, but the movement has to find a way to stay in the public sphere to be able to build its own independent power base.
Arun, is there a diversified presence? Is this something that is reflective of the fabric of this city, the incredibly diverse fabric of this city?
Yeah, I mean, you know, standing in Union Square, I mean, this is really the people's park. It is, I would say it probably is, appears to be majority Caucasian, white Americans. But at the same time, there is a very large Latino presence. There is a significant Asian American and African American presence. So it is definitely much more diverse than a lot of protests I've been at in New York City. And we should also remember, of course, that it's really the immigrant rights movement that put May Day back on the agenda, especially with 2006. They made May Day a day of working people resistance, with what I think you could arguably call the first general strike in modern U.S. history. So, you know, I would say there's a really good diversity here. Maybe it doesn't exactly reflect the city's demographics, but it is a cross-section.
And at this point, do you think the mess... How militant is the message? How encompassing is it of really the systemic issues that impact the working class?
Well, I mean, you know, it's all over the place. Some of it is about access, you know, more access to housing, more access to education. Some of it is about resources, you know, that people need to have better housing, that people need jobs. And then there, of course, the radicals who are saying, like, look, we need to think much bigger, that we don't, you know, the end goal isn't to have jobs in this same corporate system or to have kind of these alienating communities that we live under. You know, it reflects where people are at, you know, for good and not so good. You know, there are definitely political differences, different perspectives. But these are things that I think any organizer would say, you know, you have to struggle with, you have to build on, and it takes real work to create a truly militant mass movement.
Arun, you said you have somebody else with you, too, from the Dominican community.
I have Karina Ayaba Jacobs. She's the program director at the Dominican Women's Center, and she's out with a group of people to show their support of May Day as a Workers' Day, and talking to her about the issues facing her community. So I think she'd be great for you all to talk to.
Hi, happy May Day, sister. So tell us, what are you doing there today, and what should we know?
My name is Karina Ibar Jacobs. I am the program director for the Anti-Domestic Violence Program at the Dominican Women's Development Center, an organization in the Upper Manhattan area that serves all parts of New York City and even statewide. the reason why we're here is because the needs of our communities are not being met, and that meaning a lot of our immigrant communities are suffering deportation and even a lot of hunger and lack of resources. In our organization, for example, we have received multiple funding cuts, even though we continue to serve the communities and surpass our goals. Many times, we are faced with a lot of struggles, and the reason we're here today is because our voices need to be heard, and we understand that serving the people is not only on the daily basis, but also coming to a consensus with a greater movement and mobilizing people to denounce all these problems. I would describe the scene here today as people, multiple people from many different backgrounds and with many interests, but that have come here together because obviously the 99% or the majority of the people are not at the wealth and the benefit resources are not being equally distributed, and that's why we come here together despite our political affiliations, colors, and different interests. We come here today because we are affected by all these inequalities.
Well, we'd like to thank you for speaking to us briefly, and Arun Gupta as well.
The revolution comes like thunder, and the age of hypocrisy is done.
Turn off their televised illusion. Stand up and look them in the eyes.
Declare your mental liberation. Shake off the dust and claim the prize.
So comrades, come rally. In the last fight, let us face the internationale. Unites the human race.
You've been listening to part one of Building Bridges Radio's coverage of May Day 2012 in New York City. Tune in next week for part two. Building Bridges, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, and our website is www.buildingbridgesradio.org.
Something to prove.